Welcome into Diamonds in the Desert. I'm Haley Stasiak with Jordan Hamm. Starting off talking about the Diamondbacks and being one of the first teams to 40 wins. They hit that milestone with the Astros, Nationals, and then two other NL West teams, the Dodgers and the Rockies, being kind of up there and seeing all the success that they've had in the first couple months of the season. And as we're approaching that All-Star break, what are we kind of seeing that we really like out of these guys?
Well, there's been a lot to like in terms of the offense, certainly, and especially when they're at home. Currently, they are the best team at home. 26-9 record, that's first in the bigs. 227 runs scored, first in the bigs. Batting 293, again, first in the bigs. And then in terms of doubles and home runs, they're also first. So clearly they love Chase Field. They're starting to put it together on the road as well. Obviously, when you get to 40 wins, you're one of those first five teams. You definitely can have success, but I think just between the disparity of between home and away, at home they've been so good. So anytime there's any sort of trouble, it seems like it's on the road. So people are questioning that. It's almost like Jake Lamb, righties versus lefties. I know this is a tired topic for him especially, but he's so good against right-handers, and his numbers aren't great against lefties, but he's out there every day. He's all-star worthy. He's having a great season. I think that's a good reflection of what the Diamondbacks are looking like right now as well.
You know, last week I kind of talked about how I thought Brandon Drury was one of the guys that needed to step up here. And I don't know if he maybe listened in on what we had been talking about.
You pissed him off.
Potentially. But his bat definitely got pretty hot in the last week. He had a home run on Tuesday. That was his eighth of the season and his third straight game with a home run. He went 5-8 on the series against the Brewers. He had two doubles, a home run, and four RBIs. He's actually leading the league with a .536 batting average in interleague play, which is pretty impressive with that. He went out to Detroit and had a pretty good midweek series with that, too.
Yeah, he's really stepped up nicely. And I think a guy that has gotten a good amount of criticism so far this year has been Fernando Rodney. But now that we're looking at his numbers, 18 of 21 saves. He hasn't given up an earned run since April 29th. So he's been dominant. The bullpen really as a whole has done a really nice job. Yeah. It's completely revamped. That whole pitching staff has either turned themselves around or, you know, nice little additions like Taiwan Walker, moving Archie Bradley to the bullpen, things like that. Some good managerial moves and front office moves. But it seems like with Fernando Rodney, it's either he's going to be shooting the arrow or the arrow's going to snap back, hit him, he'll fall on a fire, and then a truck will run over him. It's thorough. But that hasn't happened in quite a while. I think when people think of the trouble he got in earlier this year, those were innings where he gave up five earned runs, and that's why his ERA is still through the roof. And, you know, it wasn't gave up a walk-off solo shot. It was just a bad pitch. It really compounded on him. But that hasn't happened for an entire 6 weeks. So he's been very good at the back of the bullpen. Give credit to Torey Lovello, because it seemed like the pitchforks were starting to come out to, you know, there were plenty of talks of moving Archie back to the closer role and, you know, all that stuff. And he said, hey, we're going to stand pat. It's a long season. And Rodney's rewarded him and turned it around and is having a great stretch.
Well, you know, it seems like it was just yesterday that people were kind of throwing in the towel on Rodney and making all those comments about he's not where he was a few years ago, this and that. But he's kind of been silently getting things done with those 18 of 21 saves. So I think definitely he's one of those guys that have stepped out of the bullpen, along with Randall Delgado, who's back in the bullpen after Taiwan Walker returned. And on that note, Walker had a great return on Wednesday against the Tigers. He went five innings and only allowed one run on six hits, and he had six strikeouts that came pretty quickly in the beginning of that game. But Delgado's back in the bullpen and came out on Wednesday and stepped up too. So I think, like you mentioned, the bullpen's pretty well-rounded.
One of my favorite parts about covering Taiwan Walker is his willingness to be open just be like, oh, yeah, I was nervous. And, you know, his first start of the year, that's exactly what he said. He was like, yeah, I struggled through it. I was just really nervous. New team, I want to do well for you guys, you know, this and that. And sure enough, he's like, I came back. I was nervous. you know, that's why I might have had a little trouble here and there. And he had a great start. He was so efficient.
He didn't miss a beat.
But he's willing to say, like, yeah, I had nerves. Like, I'm not bulletproof. It's just refreshing to have a guy like that who can really talk about how what he's feeling. It's not just, you know, one game at a time.
It's
here
not
we go.
A canned response.
Yeah,
it's very
exactly.
Candid, and he's very open to, like you said, talking to the media about where he's at. He's Let's a, now.
Oh. Oh, I was just gonna say, thoughtful guy.
Very thoughtful guy.
Yeah.
Let's now talk about the draft. The Diamondbacks had the 7th overall pick. There they took Paven Smith, a first baseman out of Virginia. He was one of the guys that the Diamondbacks had kind of been targeting all year. I jumped on a conference call with him, and he had 13 home runs and 12 strikeouts on his season with Virginia. And he was asked why, like, what his production at the plate kind of, what he does to get that to that point. Home runs greater than strikeouts is pretty impressive. And he basically just told everyone that he really hates striking out, which is a very true and honest response, but he just has a passion for striking out, and so that's why his strikeout count was so low.
And that should be the approach of every hitter.
It should.
It's one of those things, too, where Albert Pujols years ago, when he was putting up 40 and 50 home run seasons, they asked his approach, and he goes, I'm not trying to hit home runs. I'm trying to hit line drives. They just happen to go over the fence. So it seems like a similar approach. One thing I do want to address about Paven Smith, I've read some things since his draft, and people are asking about, well, what does that mean for Goldie's future? And what does, you know, this and that, you know, will there be a controversy? One, the MLB draft isn't like the NBA draft. It isn't like the first couple rounds of the NFL draft where they're pretty instant plug and play. Mm-hmm. This is going to take, even if this is a quick ascension for him, which I have a feeling they think.
Right. Derek Ladner said that all of these guys that they took in these first and second rounds were going to be guys they expected to progress pretty quickly. But like you're saying, on that note, they're not necessarily. He's a pretty versatile player. He has played the outfield. So keeping that in mind.
Right. He's a versatile player. And the thing with baseball is, if you have productive hitters, they'll find spots defensively.
Right.
So, and he has a background in playing outfield. There are three spots to fill. It's a good problem to have when you have too many guys and too many bats to shuffle through. There is no controversy. It's not a sign that, you know, Goldie might be on his way out when his contract up. Who knows if he is or not, but that's not an indication either way. It's you have the number 7 pick in a draft where a lot can happen. Mm-hmm. So you take the best available player, and who know, this could be something where, you know, prospects are dealt all the time. So a couple years down the road, if he's a top flight prospect, they need to make a deal for a current star. Mm-hmm. That's an asset. You know, that sort of thing. So, just wanted to address the Goldie Paven Smith controversy that isn't existent.
And he was asked about that. He was asked, look, there's kind of a solid spot already taken up here in Phoenix at first base. And he was like, you know what? Goldschmidt's one of the best players in the league. I have no intention of thinking, even the thought of taking his spot. And I sat there and I was kind of like, I understand the question needed to be asked. It was a curious question, but at the same time, knowing how the ranking system and how you move up the ranks and the hard work that it takes to get to a position like Goldschmidt's at first base it's a process.
And look at the Dodgers right now. You know, Cody Bellinger's in at first. There was a lot of conversation of, will it be Adrian Gonzalez? Will it be Cody Bellinger? Who knows how that's going to shake out, but it's a similar situation where Cody got called up as an outfielder because Jock Peterson was out.
Right.
And then he set the world on fire. And now he's bouncing around the infield and outfield. So managers can plug and play. They're creative guys, especially the NL managers. They have a knack for that. So
well, not only that, but Lovello. I mean, you see what he's doing. He pulled Goldie out last weekend or this week. And had Nick Ahmed at first.
Right.
And he's moving guys around.
Chris Owings is going to the outfield.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
he's getting creative. He's a mastermind with that
and
stuff.
And I think that's the way baseball's kind of moving. You're getting those guys that can play all over the field. Like, we talked to Austin Barnes in spring training from the Dodgers and how he can play all over the field. So it's kind of moving in that direction where they want guys that can go out and step up when the team needs
good him. Teams need a Chris Herrmann who can catch, who can play first, who can play the outfield. Yeah. So, yeah, no controversy here.
Second round, they took Drew Ellis out of Louisville. Now, his time with Louisville is not over yet. Louisville's in the College World Series, gets started on Saturday. He was another guy that the Diamondbacks had their eye on all year. He's a true third baseman, very hot bat. They took these big collegiate bats in these first few rounds. He is leading the Cardinals in batting average at a .367. He's got 18 doubles and 20 home runs with 61 RBIs. So he's leading that team, and he's a leader for the Cardinals as well.
Yeah, and I love the MLB draft because for that very reason, a lot of these teams that are in Omaha are going to get a lot of guys drafted. So there's already instant fan base built in. There are going to be Diamondbacks fans that are now rooting for Louisville because of that guy, and they're keeping an eye on him. And then a few years down the road, he gets called up. People are saying, hey, I remember him back when. Like that, I just think that's a really cool aspect of the timing of the MLB draft. Probably pretty hectic for those guys playing, but pretty cool as a guy that is sitting on his couch.
We mentioned productive college bats as being the focus for this draft. In the competitive balance round, they took Dalton Varsho, a catcher out of University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. They really like his power in his bat. They weren't so much defensively with him. It was more so his bat. But they rounded out that first day with three solid college hitters. And then they came into the second day and they took a couple high school pitchers. They took a lot of those hot college bats in the first day. The second day they came out and took a couple high school pitchers. And then they took some position players from the college level as well. They took Oregon catcher Tim Susanara. Seen a little bit of him play in Pac-12 up here at Arizona State and down at Arizona. He's a solid player and has a good bat as well. And as it progressed, they took a lot of variety of different guys, and they definitely had a solid game plan coming into it.
Certainly, and I think what I've seen out of Ladner as I've really followed his drafts the past couple of years, really starting with the Dansby Swanson draft 2 years ago, is they like the proven commodities. They like the guys who have done it at the college level. They'll certainly, you know, take a flyer or, you know, think that they can develop a high school guy. But it seems like with those top picks, they usually go college.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. And, you know, 2 years ago, Dansby Swanson, first pick. Alec Young, second pick. Last year, Anthony Greer from Auburn, who is a proven center fielder, was taken with their first round pick. And then those first three round picks this year, a lot of guys with very extensive resumes. So that seems to be the strategy the Diamondbacks have been taking as they try to replenish this farm system.
Moving into local guys that were drafted, I kept a pretty good tab on it.
Yeah, you were everywhere.
I love that stuff. I think it's cool. There were a lot of local guys that were up in there about when they would be taken. And I knew a lot of guys, especially out of Arizona, were going to be taken. So I stayed up on it. But most notably, I think, on that first day was Jake Gonzalez out of Chaparral going pick number 58 to the Giants. Pretty big for the Gonzalez family.
Certainly. Yeah, I think they had a feeling this could happen in the first couple of rounds, and the Giants came calling. I know that the elder Gonzo was taking younger Gonzo up and down the West Coast with a couple of different teams doing private workouts and things like that. So great addition by the Giants. The Giants is a great organization for Jake to go to and develop should he decide to go pro, and it seems like all indications are yes. They haven't officially come out and said that.
He's committed to TCU.
But right, yeah, but it seems like all signs point to him going pro. And you know, I tweeted out right after that pick, not to, and this wasn't to put high expectations on Jake or, you know, anything like that, but there's a potential a few years down the road that the NL West could be featuring a couple of really prominent Arizona prep stars in Cody Bellinger and Jake Gonzalez. And down the road, this could be a nice little rivalry. You know, not that the Dodgers and Giants need more firepower in that rivalry, but that's just a cool little storyline to keep track of. You know, Jake's obviously one of the more decorated players in the state and has a very extensive resume and, you know, has the size and the God-given ability and the work ethic. So I think that he certainly will have a promising career in whatever ends up happening.
I mentioned a few, or several, I guess, Arizona guys went.
Not a few, several.
Several. One of six on the first day. Well, I take that back. The first of the six went on the first day. J.J. Matijevic, drafted number 75 overall by the Astros. Bobby Dalbec, who went last year to the Red Sox, tweeted out, "This is a steal for the Astros," which I totally agree with that. I think it was great for him to go on that first day. He was projected to go later on in the third or fifth round. So very big for him. He was the first guy at Arizona.
Yeah, but again, just an established resume in the Pac-12 conference will get you drafted pretty high. And he was, I think, one of the best players in the entire state, in the entire conference. You know, I was reading, I think D1 Baseball had him as like a third team All-American. And, you know, the past couple of years that the Wildcats have had some really great infielders get drafted and move up the ranks quickly. Bobby Dalbec, like you said, he was drafted last year. He's already a top 10 prospect for the Red Sox. So that's certainly something to keep an eye on as he progresses. And, you know, you look at Scott Kingery and you look at Kevin Newman, all those guys are in the infield together.
Well, and not only that, but Kingery and Newman didn't get drafted out of high school. Matijevic was drafted in the 22nd round out of high school. Their 2015 infield was made up of those three guys, Kingery, Newman, and Matijevic. Matijevic was the only one to go out of high school. And you see now where those other two guys are, and that Matijevic went and on the first day of the draft, and that says a lot about that MLB training ground.
Totally, and I remember, you know, reading Keith Law going into the draft, the 2015 draft with Newman and Kingery, and at one time, Kevin Newman was the number two prospect on his board. And the Pirates got him, and he's been moving up quickly. And, you know, a couple podcasts ago, Scott Kingery was our, you know, big leaguer of the week. So he continues to kill it. So plenty of guys, both from ASU and U of A, you know, making noise in the pros.
We'll kind of just rattle these off as I went through and tweeted them. But first of all, want to mention that only one current Arizona State player went in the draft, and that was left-handed pitcher Connor Higgins in the 35th round, pick number 1,064 to the Rangers. Not exactly typical for a guy from Arizona State to go so late, but they did have a lot of commits go, so that's kind of saying a lot about the future of the program and the talent that would be coming in. The first ASU commit to go was Brendan Murphy. He's a left-handed pitcher out of Mundelein High School. He is committed to ASU. And then the next guy to go was Pinnacle High School shortstop Jake Holmes, local product, committed to ASU. He was drafted to the Phillies. So a couple guys that went in those first 11 rounds from ASU. And then you had some other guys sprinkled in throughout that first couple days from Arizona even. You have JC Cloney that was taken. Jared Oliva was taken in the 7th round to the Pirates. And then Cloney was taken in the 9th round to the Royals. So there's three right there taking the top 10 rounds.
Right. And, you know, going back to what I said about loving the timing of the MLB draft and, you know, getting to watch the College World Series with those guys already drafted, it has to be a nightmare for college coaches.
Oh, yeah.
Because it seems like Tracy Smith every single year has one of the top three recruiting classes. But at least one, two, three of those guys are going to get drafted high. They're going to go. So it's certainly probably a tight rope to walk in terms of college baseball recruiting. But yeah, they continue to bring in talent. You know, like you said, it's a strange year when the Sun Devils only have one pick, and it's in the 35th round. Even in their down years, it seemed like they'd always have a 14 rounder through a 16, you know, a couple guys sprinkled in throughout. But, you know, we've talked about it pretty ad nauseum the past couple of weeks. You know, Tracy's trying to turn that program around and bringing in some people, and there are some exciting young players. So I'm sure we'll be seeing plenty of Sun Devils in future MLB drafts.
A Another ASU commit that went was Gage Workman out of Basha. He graduated early and actually had to appeal to the commissioner's office to even register for this draft. He went in the 14th round to the Brewers. Pretty great for him to have that accomplishment of graduating early and then be drafted in the top
15. Yeah, clearly very focused to get the academics out of the way in high school, whether he goes to ASU or pro ball, he'll be able to kind of jumpstart that career.
Also in the 14th round, just a few picks later, Cameron Ming became the fourth Arizona player to be taken. He was drafted by the Orioles. He is a product out of Sandra Day O'Connor here. He had a pretty good junior season, finishing up with a 2.78 ERA and his 77.2 innings pitched.
Sandra Day O'Connor, we always talk about, you know, when you think of the prominent programs in the state, Sandra Day O'Connor, they may not be on the front of someone's mind, but they have so much talent. Nolan Gorman is the shortstop. He's going to be a senior, one of the top 2019 guys. He's a top 10 prospect, could be getting plenty of eyeballs on him moving forward. And they've just really produced a ton of talent the past couple of years.
They have a lot of guys at UCU too.
Yeah.
They're cranking that out, and those guys are going there. Now we have a Bellinger that has will potentially enter the pros. Cody's younger brother was drafted to the Padres in the 15th round, and he's committed to GCU.
Yeah, and he had a great state championship game, was the winning pitcher there, almost went the complete game. Another talented Bellinger. They just have a lot of talent within that family. So either way, it's a win-win for him, whether he goes to pro ball or he goes to a great rising GCU program that's going to be postseason eligible next year. And, you know, Andy Stankiewicz leading that program certainly knows his stuff. So it's a win-win for him. Either way, he's going to certainly develop as a ball player.
Another guy that was committed to go to GCU this fall out of Gateway Community College was right-handed pitcher Seth Nordlund. He's a Mountain View product, actually. Went to Gateway Community for a couple years and then was planning on going to GCU, thinking he'll probably head pro after that. But another example of GCU and postseason eligibility coming up. They're getting talent, too.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a talent-rich state, and it was usually ASU and U of A fighting it out for those guys, with plenty of other big schools coming into the state, but now certainly add GCU to that list as they continue to progress.
The only player from GCU that was drafted was Garrison Schwartz. Went to Desert Vista, went to the Braves in the 16th round. He was named the 2017 Western Athletic Conference Player of the Year. Made it out to GCU quite a bit. Very impressive player, both in the field and at the plate.
Yeah, he has a huge bat. You know, this is a potent GCU lineup, and he was right in the middle of it each and every week.
In the 24th round, the Mariners selected Arizona shortstop Luis Boyd. He was out at the beginning of the season with an arm injury and came back and had a pretty good year with his fifth Wildcat. And then the sixth Wildcat to be taken was Rio Gomez by the Red Sox. Just rounding out those Arizona guys, pretty impressive out there.
Yeah, and I think it certainly helped last year because most of those guys were on that Arizona team that went to the College World Series and were contributors. So that's just another opportunity to get eyeballs on you on the national stage and see how you perform in front of the bright lights. I think that's certainly helping the Wildcats in this draft and probably the next couple of drafts.
Last couple guys we'll mention that were taken in the draft, Boyd Vanderkooy was out of Skyline, selected by the Diamondbacks. He made it well known to MLB teams that he is going to ASU, but to be selected by your hometown team, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and when the Diamondbacks, obviously, you know, it's a quick drive over to Skyline to check him out, so I'm sure they have scouted him well, and, you know, this could be something where, you know, even if they just get him in the door and maybe have him work out or, you know, whatever it may be, that could help them in future drafts when he's wrapping up his career at ASU.
Yeah, that was in the 36th round. And then in the 37th round, another ASU commit was taken, Perry High School shortstop Trevor Hauber. Spoke with Trevor last week. He's going to weigh all of his options. He kind of implied that he was hoping to be taken earlier and that would make the decision of going pro easier. Taken in the 36th round, weighing all those options and deciding whether to go pro or ASU.
Yeah, and again, another guy that just has an extensive resume. Holds the home run record over at Perry, and Perry is a very good baseball school, so that says something. Yeah, he'll certainly take the time and figure out what's best for him.
The MLB MLB is going to let guys in August put nicknames on the back of their jerseys. So on that note, Jordan, if you had to stitch names on the back of the jerseys for the Sports 360 AZ crew, what do you got?
Am I physically stitching them? Or just like, am I? I'd like to think I was the idea man, not the textile man.
I'll help you out.
Okay, so we'll just go back and forth on these. Okay. So we have Brad Sesmat, our fearless leader. What are we putting?
Like fearless leader.
Fearless leader. I was gonna say big guy.
I was gonna put boss man.
Okay, I like boss man. Yeah, I think certainly. Big guy or boss man definitely applies.
Big guy's pretty good, though.
And, you know, especially that's what he was known as, you know, earlier in his career, the big guy on sports and that. But yeah, I like boss man. Now we have our EP, Eric Sorensen.
Oh, this is one I had tough with time.
Jack of all trades.
What do you have for this?
I was going to do something TCU related.
I know, that's
because
what I
he loves his horned frogs.
The toad.
Maybe the frog emoji. He loves to use the frog emoji. No.
I heard is it hashtag
yes. Yes, that's what he would every single week without fail. When Haley tweets out the AZ Audibles link, he will quote tweet
our
it.
High school football segment.
I heart AZ Audibles.
Hashtag
and he does. Incredible. He's got a big heart. And he lets us know about it every single week.
I do like the frog emoji though. I feel like that sums him up better.
I disagree. I think I love AZ Audibles. It just he's then promoting the brand, which he loves to do.
That's true. That's very true.
I think that's what it is. Espo, Greg Esposito, runs the Suns solar panel. Does a lot of our social media. Is a wizard with certainly the technology. Actually recommended PlayStation View to me for cable. It's wonderful. Thank you, Espo. Can't thank you enough. This one's easy to me.
What'd you put?
Just at Espo.
Oh, I put Sunman.
Not bad.
but I like Espo. That makes sense. That's his nickname.
Yeah.
We all call him Espo.
Espo.
I don't even know if I know his first name.
At Espo. It's Greg. Gregory. He's... With his social media prowess, I think getting the Twitter handle on there is fine. Jared Nielsen, our technical director, makes everything happen TriCaster wise and recording and making sure we're all up to par and look good and
sound good.
Yeah, he marks when to edit out our mistakes, which there are a lot.
A lot is an understatement. There's an infinite amount. Too many.
Just keep listening. We're really talented. Okay, Jared Nielsen.
I don't know. I had to look this in.
I was going to say Iron
Man. I like Iron Man.
Because he never misses work. No matter how sick he is or what's going on in his life, he is showing up and he is delivering. And again, making us look good, making us sound smart. I think Iron Man.
I like that.
All right. Andy Silvis.
Photo Silvis.
I agree. Andy Silvis is our awesome photographer. Gets a lot of great shots, especially at ASU games, various high school football games, really all high school sports. I think Photo Silvis is another that's pretty... when I think Andy Silvis, I think his Twitter handle, at Photo Silvis.
Same.
Justin Toscano. Our star intern.
I think every sports emoji imaginable. He's all over the place. He's out at ASU football, doing some deep dives with ASU baseball. He's been out at the Suns for
Suns workouts,
some workouts for that. And
I like that.
Always able to just kind of step up and go grab whatever story with whatever sport we need.
Yeah, I like it's going to be a big jersey, but the entire block because his first day of his internship, I was talking to him and saying, if you see a different story or maybe a team that's not really covered, you know, maybe chase that. And I was thinking maybe he'll go do a Rattler story or something like that. And he was like, do you guys have a market for cheerleading? Because I think I found a really good story with that and da, da, da. And I'm like,
go for it.
I like you.
He reminds me of myself. Just going and getting it.
Sure.
Justin and I work together.
He's lapped you. He's lapped you. Come on. Oh. I kid. Okay. After I just made fun of you. My jersey.
You know, this entire time we've been recording this, I've been thinking, and I mean, when I was introduced to you, I was introduced to you as Jordy. And okay. I honestly thought your name was Jordy. Like,
Brad enjoys the Jordy.
I just hear Jordy all the time. I don't think I've ever called you Jordy.
No.
But I guess Jordy. I need like a couple of days to think about this. I feel like
really?
You need to be very in depth.
A very thorough jersey.
Yeah, I need to put a lot of thought into it.
Okay.
Right now I've got Jordy.
Okay.
Stay tuned for updated.
Okay.
It might spark once you give me mine.
Okay. For yours, I was going to do just a comet.
Ha ha ha.
Ever heard that one?
Yeah. Yes.
You can now do honey baked for me. It's okay.
Honey baked?
Honey baked ham.
I like that.
Haven't heard that
can
one
I
since
put
fourth
the ham
grade.
Emoji, since I'm getting in the comet emoji, just the ham emoji.
Sure.
I like that. Okay, that's what Jordan's
I like saying. That we went super impersonal, even though we've known each other.
That's true. It's hard when you're like put on the spot. I don't know. That's it for us here with Diamonds in the Desert today. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.